Welcome to Haunt Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back again with another weekly dose of haunting.
Yes.
And it's getting to be that wonderful time of year where everybody is either opening or preparing to open.
Yeah.
So, yes, we decided to get some assistance with this episode this week. And it's been a very, very special edition, as we have Japes Palace on the line this week. Japes, are you there?
I am here. How's it going?
All right. We've had some technical issues in the run-up to this, but we seem to be sorted now. Glad to have you and glad to be able to hear each other properly.
Yes, it's much better than me running around my house trying to fix my internet.
It's preferable.
I will rest assured that there were many, many swear words involved, and we will not repeat them on this podcast.
That's right.
But yes, how are you doing this fine late September afternoon?
I'm doing great. I'm pumped to help open a show tonight, so I'm getting into the season starting tonight, so I'm very excited.
Yes, it is that wonderful time of year. Like I said, everyone's crazy as heck.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out there. We actually are getting ready to go out and do some of the front of house display for our haunt now.
Yeah.
But so yes,
you're either brave or foolish for being able to balance the podcast with the building of your haunted house.
Oh, you also forgot the haunt video series we do at Garbage Horror.
Oh my goodness.
So we go and visit haunts during this time too.
And so. Talk about them and then do the podcast and then build a haunt and then run.
Yeah.
Yes, we are nuts.
Yes.
We don't sleep a lot, actually.
No.
Caffeine, I would guess that.
Yeah.
Caffeine is on like a drip diet for us for the next few weeks.
Yes. Monsters by the case are in the house.
Yes. We literally buy energy drinks from Sam's Club this time of year.
So, anyway, let's get on to some more important questions.
Yes, more important questions. Japes, we brought you on here. You have been very active on social media with our Facebook and so forth.
Right.
And, hey, greatly appreciate all the help.
Yes.
You've done, all the promotion. It
yeah.
means a great deal to us. We appreciate the likes and shares and all that.
Right, because the first night that you mentioned us, we started getting all these likes, and we're like, where the heck is all this coming from?
And we're actually sitting out there working in the haunt, and like our phones are going crazy, and we're like, what the hell? It's like Wednesday.
Yeah.
But anyway, so thank you very much for that.
No, it's
yes, we are here to discuss, primarily at least, actor training this week. So, first off, I want to know more about your background, how you got started in haunting, what you're doing now and all that jazz, and the jazz in between, as Hannibal
sure.
would say it.
Sure, yeah. So this is my 15th season haunting. So I've been doing it for a couple years now. Got into it just because I've always been a horror nerd. I've always been into horror and things that are scary. And 16 years ago, I found a website called Haunted Illinois, and I said, oh my gosh, it's all of the haunted houses in one place. And I made a whole itinerary for the month of October that I literally, you know, made in Microsoft Word and printed out and handed to my friends. And I said, here we go, guys. This is what we're doing this month.
Yeah, we use a spreadsheet method for this thing.
Yeah, I wasn't so great with spreadsheets then. Now I live for spreadsheets. So
yes.
Yeah.
Once
understood.
You master the spreadsheet, you are addicted to the spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah. Everything goes in spreadsheets. But so the next year I decided to, you know, I started doing the same thing. And then I was like, you know what, why just go visit these things? I can go make money working in them.
Seems like a good realization.
Yeah, right. And then so I started working in the haunted house and realized there's no money to be had here at all. but yeah, so I started at 11th Hour Haunted House 15 years ago. And learned a lot very quickly and became one of the top actors at that haunt. And then the next year I was asked to actually manage the actors. So my second year I became an actor manager. At that time there were a couple guys that I had an opportunity to work with, Joe Jensen and Jeff Glatzer. who are two legends in the Midwest of haunting. And I got an opportunity to learn from them in their classes and looked at what they were doing and said, hey, I think I can develop something like this. And so that kind of got me started on training. So now, for the past 4 years, or I guess this is starting my fifth year, I'm also a teacher, an elementary school teacher.
Which is a real nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's a heck of a lot scarier in an elementary school than it is in a haunted house.
Yeah, I can imagine. I was going to make a joke about going from cat herder to cat trainer, where you have the little circus and stuff. But I think elementary school teacher is probably a little bit even more advanced than that.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
How many times have you used your taser? I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, not so much the taser. I've gotten good at de-escalation technique.
Okay. So. Good approach.
That actually explains how it would fit in, because then you can teach other people how to de-escalate situations, right?
Well, you know, it's funny because when I first started haunting, I actually worked in a group home, so I was working with kids who had been through a lot of stuff. And, you know, my job there was to make them feel as safe and secure as possible. And then I would go to the haunt at night and make everybody feel as unsafe and insecure.
Beautiful.
Kept me very balanced.
Yes.
But the interesting thing along the road has been seeing how the things that I've learned in training from haunted houses has influenced me as a teacher. And now that I'm actually an instructional coach now, so I actually teach the teachers how to teach.
Right.
And so a lot of what I've done in the haunt has actually prepared me for this. And it's also worked vice versa, where I'm learning these new strategies that I'm bringing into my training. So it's been a 14-year evolution of training.
Very nice.
Very cool.
You just launched some new services, right? Did I read that right?
That is correct. Yeah. Okay. So recently I had a baby, and so I told
congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I told my wife I would step back from haunting for a little while and just do some consultation work. And so I partnered up with a phenomenal actor, haunted house actor named Andrew Martangelo, who does amazing character work and can pretty much work anywhere and make it phenomenal. And he and I are doing consultation services, both in management consultation as well as actor consultation.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. It's been a very learning year for us.
Yeah.
Sounds really cool.
Can I throw in a business idea at you, because it's been in my brain for a little while, but I don't have the resources or anything to do with it, but you might.
Please.
So I worked for an engineering company for a long time, and what we did was we had a database of engineers, and we would match up the customer needs with the engineer. Yeah,
it's basically a temp agency for nuclear engineers.
Yeah.
Let that set for a second before you move on.
Yeah, but a system like that for haunt actors, because I know a lot of haunt actors, character actors specifically in New Orleans, who go away from New Orleans a lot of the time to go to a lot of different haunts. And if there was a centralized place to find them and to have, you know, all of their information, that would be kind of neat. So
I'm wondering how the haunts would take to that, though, because the haunt owners in particular,
right?
Because of the fact that now we're giving actors the freedom to move where they want.
Yeah.
And I think that the majority of haunt actors don't realize they can do that.
Right.
The more experienced people, the veterans, they know they can.
Yeah.
But the newer people, when they start a haunt, they don't even understand that there's a world outside of that.
Right.
And I'm wondering how much all the owners would absolutely hate me for giving the actors that much power.
Okay, fair point.
I'm with you. And I do, you know, I have, like, our show from last year is no longer exists.
Right.
And so that means I have a crew of 120 people that just kind of spread out through Chicagoland. And
right.
I definitely helped some of my former team leads into some new positions. And now they've brought in a lot of the actors to their own shows. So I kind of do things in a very, we can talk about it a little bit more later, but I do things in a very hierarchical structure.
Right.
I like things
close enough.
Yes. I like things organized. And I find that trying to coach 120 people is not as effective as coaching, you know, 5 or 6 people who then coach those other people.
Right.
So, I mean, I definitely have done that where I've paired up some people with some haunts around the Chicagoland area. So, let's talk more about that idea though. I like
it. Okay. We'll do that later.
We'll get there. But yes. Okay. Now I think we fell on your radar after the episode about
paid versus unpaid.
Paid versus unpaid, and also the one about how to recruit and
right.
The one about actor auditions and all that jazz, where we started discussing that.
Right.
Yeah, because we didn't even touch on training in that.
No, we didn't. But you had some great points in the Facebook comments. So let's talk a little bit about your approach to this and about onboarding actors and about making them, you know, bringing them to their full potential inside of a haunt.
Okay. Yeah. So originally, like I said, I was influenced by Joe Jensen and Jeff Glatz.
I'm interested to hear later how they influenced you and how this came across.
I can speak to that here. I think it fits in that Joe Jensen is a phenomenal theater actor, and he brings a lot of that to his training. But what I felt was that I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this in public now, but haunt actors are not actors, generally speaking. The majority of haunt actors are not haunt actors. They're just kids who want to scare people.
Right.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
That's my experience too.
So, you know, there are those of us who get crazy with it and we want to get deep and we want to act and we want to really, you know, we really put our efforts into it and we grow as actors and become actors. But then there's, like I said, a lot of people that's come in and come out and they never become actors.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think it's safe to say if you get, say, a new crew of, say, like 50 to 60 people, you're really only going to get 2 or 3 actual actors out of that
group. Right.
If you're lucky.
Right. Exactly. And Joe's approach was intimidating to non-actors because it was deep and it was weird and it was playing with energy and playing with emotions and things that we don't do and we don't talk about as normal people.
Right.
But as actors, it was so empowering. It was amazing. The things that he does. And so I wanted to scale back what he was doing and bring in some of the improv games that he was doing. But on a lighter scale where it was more accessible to people. Now Jeff Glatzer, I've always considered to be, like the social worker of haunted houses. The reason I mean that is not because he helps everybody out, but my wife is a social worker, and one thing that I've learned about social workers is that they are very, very good at giving words to things. They name help to name things that we don't normally have names for. And as I read Jeff Glatzer's articles in Scared Stiff and participated in his training, he gave a lot of names to things. He helped me to understand the jargon and the lingo that's used in haunted houses. And he actually created a lot of it.
Right.
And so I wanted to bring that in. But again, his approach was also very lecture format, sitting and lecturing at everybody for a long time. So what I wanted to do was marry the two styles together. So I kind of took some of the stuff that I learned from Jeff, some of the stuff I learned from Joe, and I squished them together and started building my training from there.
That sounds like a great approach.
That's a good approach, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like it'd be a lot of fun to take your training.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope so. I've done it quite a few times, and like I said, it's constantly changing. There's no one set schedule that I use or anything like that. And I've really been trying to work with haunts in the past couple years to really identify what their needs are for doing the training. So instead of, you know, if I'm, there's no reason to work on dialogue if all you want is people to pop out, you know?
Right. So all of them, grrr.
Yes. Arr.
Yes, exactly. Oh God, it hurts me to hear you say that.
Sorry.
Oh, we went through a haunted house last night and about 50% of it.
We might have seen a little bit of that.
So I've come up with some little rules throughout the years, and one of my rules is when you're not doing dialogue and you're like screaming a noise, the rule that I tell everybody is, if you can spell it, don't say it.
That's a good rule.
Arg is A-R-G-H. Grr is G-R-R. Ah! Cannot be spelled.
I believe that was B-W-R-H-A-A-H. Was the technically correct spelling of that. I'm reasonably sure. I'll check my dictionary after the podcast. I might be lying my ass off.
Well, I appreciate the attempt.
It proves the point.
It proves the point very nicely, yes. And I like that idea. If you can spell it, don't say it.
Yeah.
That's a very, very good idea right there. And yes, one of the things we have found in recruiting and working with actors is we find a lot of good actors come from local improv scenes in general. Mm-hmm. Improv comedy in particular seems to be like it's that thinking on the feet mentality. Is that something you've noticed?
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't had a ton of experience with people who have that background, but those who do absolutely get it. And I did a little bit of improv when I was younger, and I understand the basic rules. But I certainly would not consider myself a master improviser or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, anybody that's got that kind of background does really well. You know, the other thing that I found too is I feel like in haunts we get some of the more fringe people of society, if you will.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's pretty much a common theme. And you know, a lot of times it's the kids who are picked on in school, and and I think that they're really drawn to the power of a haunted house, you know. That jock that walked through that you scared so bad is like revenge for everything that happened in high school.
I get that.
And I think that because of that also, we get a lot of really socially awkward people. And I've heard a lot of owners be like, yeah, he's such a weirdo. He's like perfect for the haunt. And I would argue that he's actually the worst thing because he doesn't know social norms. And a good haunt actor should know social norms so that they can flip it and do the opposite.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that.
I agree with that, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
And you are right. We do tend to attract, as an industry, you know, the bring us your outcast, bring us your downtrodden type of thing. We're definitely at home for that. And that's fine. That's great. But you're right. It's
phenomenal. Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work out necessarily for an actor, especially if you're wanting someone to be more interactive and to be more of a character actor.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they don't know what to say. You know, there's some people that I just want to say, like, I don't want you to act. I just want you to go talk to people. You know?
Yeah. I understand that completely.
Yeah, we've got a girl this year who I'm really looking forward to using her. She's a little girl, but she can talk.
Yeah.
Yes.
You get her going on anything. Pick a topic. It doesn't matter. She will talk.
Yeah.
And she will not shut up. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's 90 miles.
It's going to work great.
So we're going to say, okay, you're talking to them about pies. Go. And that's like the whole plan.
And if she can go with that, man, that is a gift. She is a gift for you. You
can just she's 8 years old and she can just go. It's awesome. I love this girl. I'm so happy about having her.
Yeah.
So like a wind-up toy. It's great.
Do you find that it's helpful then for those awkward actors to have specific lines that they're given?
You know, so I it's such a case-by-case basis. I wish I could make a blanket statement and say that, yeah, all those weird kids should do this one thing. But
right.
I think it's very much a case-by-case basis. And as, you know, as an – I'm always – you know, on top of my training role, I'm also the actor manager, you know, so I, right. you know, so I kind of know, I get to know them. And part of my, a big part of my training is actually designed to basically be an audition. So the yeah. exercises that I'm doing, I'm looking for their strengths throughout right. that. And when I bring that to other places, I work with their management to bring their, you know, to point out, hey, did you notice that this person is doing this all the time? That's something to build on. Right. So I think it's just a case by case thing where you just need to watch what they're doing. And I've gotten really much, much better in the past couple of years about taking notes. I used to try to keep, oh, I'm going to remember this kid was really good at this. And then the next time I see him, he's wearing a different shirt. So I don't know who the hell he is.
So, gotcha. Well, yeah, no, I mean, you're dealing with 50, 60, whatever number of people. Yeah. You're going to forget names.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Fun. And you know, who the people who show up to your first actor training are not the people that show up to your second actor training all the time. And they're certainly not all the people that show up to your haunt when you actually open. So
yeah,
right.
I've always been a big nicknamer. Anybody, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've given nicknames that have stuck to this day. But like, I'm sorry, we've got 5 mics working in our haunt, so you are now Sideburns. Whatever you know, like
I'm gonna be very careful what I wear and or do around you from now on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Whatever you're wearing the first time is gonna be your name for the next 20 years.
Well, that'll be easy for me.
Yeah. You are the man in black.
I wear literally the same thing every day.
Yes, it's like a cartoon villain closet.
Hey, I have short sleeve and long sleeve black button down shirts. It's hot in New Orleans, all right?
Yeah, absolutely it is. But yeah, so I mean, so, you know, like I said, it's a matter of assessing your team, assessing who's there, keeping really good notes on them. Again, I got spreadsheets on top of spreadsheets, right. You know, and I even in the past couple years started, I actually do a rating system during the show where I'm actually rating the actors throughout the show. So that I can then make moves where if I want to move them to a new space, it may be that that one role wasn't good. I had one guy last year. He was literally one day away from being cut. I was like, I cannot figure out what to do with this guy.
Right.
I've moved him from place to place. He just sucks everywhere we put him. And then we put him in a mask.
Uh-huh.
Get out of the way. He was a complete nut. He became one of our star actors. It was just a matter of finding that right role for him.
Right.
And I was putting him in the wrong space. I had a vision for him that I thought he could pull off, that he could not pull off. But when I put him into the right spot, he became just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. But I mean, I was, like I said, I was a day away from saying, you know what, dude, we don't need you anymore.
Right.
But he absolutely rose to the occasion, and you know, we found that right spot. So so it's a matter of playing around with that, I think.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed in our dealing with actors, both in the haunt we run and the haunts we work, is that people are happiest in the roles they feel successful in.
Yeah.
Actors, I think most of the time, God help us if they don't, on some level know when they're dying.
Yeah.
They know when they're struggling.
Yeah.
And that hurts them.
Right. And I think that, and I wonder if people are aware of it or if they're not aware of it, because the ability to self-reflect is actually it's a challenging thing. And I deal with it, you know, in the haunts, and I deal with it with teachers, the ability to look back at their own practice and say, is what I'm doing the best way that I can do it? I constantly push on my actors that if you're not getting a reaction 100% of the time from 100% of the crowd, then it can be done better. Now, we know that it's impossible to get 100% of the reaction 100% of the time.
Yeah, right? I'm going to go through the haunt at some point and be distracted looking all over pretty setting work. And
yes,
at some point, someone like me is going to come through and totally ruin it.
Right, exactly. And to get everybody in the group, you know, if you've got a group of 7 people coming and you're getting reactions out of 6 or 7 people 100% of the time, man, I want to meet that person. Because
me too.
But
I will hire them.
Fight to the death over them quick.
If you find that person, please just, you know, introduce them to me on Facebook or something. That'd be great.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do.
Yeah. But no,
mythical 100% are done.
Right. The idea is to set a goal that's unachievable so that you're constantly improving, right? Like,
yeah. Right.
I'm a good line actor, but you know what? Put me in a pop out. I suck. I'm horrible. I don't have the timing. Yeah. My timing is awful. Awful. But if you want me to, if you want somebody to jabber for 30 minutes, hey, you invited the right guy.
Gotcha.
Well, we need you to jabber for 50 minutes, actually.
50 minutes, done and done. If you guys want to just be quiet, I will ramble.
Well, if it comes to that, we've got 25 more minutes to go. So. but yeah, and that's one of the things, like I said, we've known actors ourselves that, you know, you stick them behind a pop out and you give them like a light cue or something so that the timing is impossible to goof. They're the happiest people on the planet. They're getting reactions consistently. And you know, but they have like zero natural, you know, timing of their own, or they have no like conversation ability.
Right.
They're not, but still, they can be very happy and actually pretty solid actors. Like you said, if you find the correct role for them.
Right.
Yeah. I had a guy last year who he didn't want to be there. He I think got signed on by a friend and gotcha. Kind of kept coming. And we just put him in a drop down where there was a camera where he could see what he was doing. And he literally sat there with headphones on, listening to music all night.
Wow.
But he was able to use the timing. He had the timing down. He was able to get reactions. So I was like, look, he doesn't want to be here, but he's getting his job done. So what the heck, you know?
Right.
So
he's going to keep showing up.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I was like annoyed all the time. But it worked. So I was like, well, it works. So let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've actually struggled with my dad over the years finding the right spots for him because he is a natural talker.
Mm.
And so we tried him 1 year because my brother was injured as a stalker. And what he would talk about were all the scares coming up. So that lasted all of, you know,
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Better watch out. Someone's going to pop out there. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
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 So like, I love dad, but yeah.
Right. You want to teach actors to be able to hype up that next scare and kind of lead to it, but don't explicitly tell them it's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But
you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink sometimes.
Yeah. But last year, we actually found a little dark spot and put him in a black suit so that he could just like pop out and chat at people randomly. And he put a fireman into a wall. So he was happy with that.
Yeah. Because the idea there, the beautiful part there was he could be talking, but no one could see him.
Right.
So he could be jibber jabbering away. No one could see him. Like, what the hell's going on? Then he pops out. And that works. So, yeah, it's about finding that particular role, that spot. So, yeah, tell me, I'm very curious about your process for onboarding new actors. How do you bring people on? How do you get them trained up? How do you, what is your
How do you approach? Find them?
Yeah, how do you find them?
Well, you know, the Chicago market is completely oversaturated. There are haunts everywhere. And so I have found in the past couple years that there's really been almost a shortage. And I know like you're thinking, but wait, you said you had like 120 people last year. But keep in mind, I was working for a huge name haunted house, you know, like getting national press in Rolling Stone magazine. So like we had people coming from everywhere to be a part of that, because they were expecting to meet the star behind it. And
did they?
No. Well, yes. Yes, we did do a meet and greet. We did do a meet and greet, but it was a very, you know, shake your hand, take two pictures, and get back to work type
of thing. Gotcha.
And so, but, you know, like, I've had people hand me scripts and hand me books and stuff because they think that I'm going to go back to him and give him the stuff, you know, like – There was that mentality, and I mean, that's just not how it works. But because of that, though, we brought in a ton of people as far as actors. And what really struck me this year was that we know that we're going to lose a certain amount of actors. We know the exact percentage. I knew how many, like I knew how many people I had to have hired by day one in order to have enough people to staff the house on the last day. Right. And we had a ton of people and we maintained much more than we had ever anticipated. And I think a lot of that is because of the community that we created. And I think that as an actor manager, it's extremely important to create a strong community. So getting them in the door is one thing. And I honestly don't have an answer to your question on how do we get them in the door. But once they're in the door, that's where you can make change. And it's about creating a safe community.
Yes.
I'm cute. Like I'm a huge fan of your Women in Haunt series because of the fact that, the way that women have been used in haunts and their roles in haunts over the past, you know, in the past has been horrible and completely worthless. You know, like, you know, it's the sexy vampire or the victim. Yeah. Like that's, those are your roles. And if you don't like those, then we have no use for you. And, you know, in Chicago, we're fortunate to have some insanely strong female actors. Very, very strong. And in my opinion, The Svenpuss girls, Brooke and Reggie and Lexi, they turned the game upside down at MHC in, I want to say it was 2010. They turned it upside down, and now women in haunts, at least in the Midwest, you don't see vampires. You don't see many victims. You see crazy, nasty women.
That's awesome.
I mean, Stevie Calabrese, who was on Face Off this year, went to MHC. Now keep in mind, she used to be like, she used to do like beauty pageants and stuff. She was wearing a costume that covered her entire body, so she just looked like a blob, like this nasty blob creature. Here's a girl who could easily use her looks to play that sexy character and you know, and do it that way. She didn't do that. You know, she said, I'm going to be repulsive. And she was. You know, I love that piece. I know I just totally went off, totally off tangent here.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine.
But as far as culture. Go ahead. Sorry.
Can you move? I think we're seeping there. We're getting a bit of an echo now. Can you make sure that the headphone is not, or the head is not near the microphone? Just make sure. Okay. Yeah, I cannot hear myself now. It's straightened out. Cool.
Okay, good.
All right, so what were you saying, Crystal? Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
I'm used to resolving those types of problems on podcasts. I'm sorry.
Okay. So do you think that, or what do you think caused that change for women actors in that area?
So, I mean, it was really a matter of some, in my opinion, some visionary women that realized that they were better than that. You know, gosh, I would love to take credit for it and say that I empowered them to do it. but that is not the case at all. No, Brooke and Reggie created a character at MHC. It was a Siamese twin character. They are sisters, and they actually, it's, you know, they use the costume to kind of attach themselves by the legs and by the arms and by their body, and walked out on stage looking absolutely disgusting, and had these beautiful body movements where they were, you know, because I mean it's two people having to move in sync, you know, so they were walking up on stage, and I can't remember, Reggie had something in her hand and Brooke had a mirror. So she was kind of like looking at herself, and it was absolutely stunning, just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I looked at everything else that was on stage, and it was crazy redneck woman with a butcher knife and scary vampire woman and you know, all these standard roles. And they walked up and you could feel the entire place go, oh, okay. Yeah. We're going to that now. And since then, I've seen tons of women use those types of characters and start to be influenced by them. And I mean, I know they got a huge following on Facebook and Instagram, and they were traveling all over the United States. I know they were down in Georgia a lot, and you know, they were all over the place, and they have created just some beautiful, beautiful images, stunning characters. But when I say stunning, I mean absolutely horrible.
Well, yeah, you know, it sounds not very mesmerizing.
Yeah, very, and just repulsive looking all the time, you know, and it doesn't, they don't feel the need to use their sexuality, you know, because so often that's kind of what we decide that women are, is they're sexual objects, and so they have to use their sexuality in everything they do. They said, no, we don't need to do that. We can be just as scary and just as repulsive as the guys. And that's what they did. And I think that really, I mean, it was a it was a very, very clear moment in my mind. And I think a lot of other people saw it at MHC that year and said, holy cow, what is going on here? Like, we need to now raise our game up. And you start seeing, like I said, you started seeing it happening all the time.
Right, and it was probably a, why haven't we been doing this all along?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I got to say, even the haunts we visited so far locally, we've been making active note of the women in pure scare roles.
Right.
And even at some of the haunts that previously had been more on the misogynist side of the roles, they seem to be at least shifting the dial a little bit, even down here.
Yeah, so it seems a little bit.
It seems to be improving, and I'm very happy to see that, honestly, because... Yeah, we're so much better when every actor can fit the role that is right for them, as you said.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of the thing is, you know, the people who show up to work at haunts, a lot of the times they're just so excited to be able to scare somebody, like we were talking about earlier, that they'll take any role that the haunt tells them they should take.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Maybe women should be a little more demanding about which roles they get.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think maybe some of it does lean on us.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny to me, too, because you think about it, like, when we watch horror movies, right, so often the women are the victims, you know, and it's probably, you know, like 70-30 as far as the victims. You know, a movie with a high body count, you're going to get a bunch of guys in there, too. But, you know, usually women are over-sexualized in that role and stuff. So we're used to seeing that. But what I've found gets such a huge impact is when the guy is the victim. When you put a woman torturing a guy or killing a guy or something, you see bigger, better reactions from the guys than...
Yeah,
I believe that, yeah.
We have a crew of giants here at our little haunt. We have at least four actors over 6'4" to 6'7".
They're tall. They're 6 tall. Foot, and I feel like a damn midget roaming around my own haunt.
I would love, I would love to have one of them be a victim, and maybe even one of the little girls, like the dad and daughter combo, where she's just ripping his guts out. I would love that. I think it would get a great reaction.
Yeah, but absolutely, absolutely.
Because it does flip the script.
Yeah. And it's like you talked about previously about how it's so much a haunting is taking social norms and flipping them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's another way of doing it.
Yeah.
Doing the opposite of what people expect is effective much, in my opinion, in my experience, it's far more effective than doing what people are used to seeing. You have to give them. You have to give them a little bit of what they want to see. They want to see the chainsaw guy. They want to see the clowns. You know, they want to see that type of stuff.
Clowns. Sorry.
No, it was chainsaw guy. Both. That was the groan. I'm sorry.
Well,
I've been in the industry too long. The things that nonplus me completely now. But yeah, I do understand what you mean, though.
And the audience
expectation, yes.
It's funny because I've always had a thing about chainsaws. I think they're the dumbest thing on earth.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Oh yeah. No. Like I said, these are the things that the customers want, so we have to do them. Not because we like it, but because they expect it. If there's not a vortex tunnel, forget about it. You lost. You know, like.
You know,
all right, I'll buy the damn laser vortex tunnel. Jeez.
It's so ridiculous. You know, you spend how many hours decorating and detailing a scene, and like, you know, back when I was at Dream Reapers, we had a giant waterfall. They built a waterfall in the haunted house. And people would walk out and go, man, that spinny tunnel was awesome.
Oh, God.
There's a waterfall.
There's a waterfall inside. You don't understand what you just saw.
Yeah. That vortex tunnel that we literally, it was probably a prepackaged unit.
That's frustrating.
I have actually become known as, part of my character is the chainsaw, because I always carry a teeny little plastic chainsaw. Battery powered chainsaw.
That's adorable.
People with the plastic chainsaw. Okay. I actually have four of them now. But I think they're stupid and I don't like them.
Well, I will say this. One of the best uses I did see the chainsaw was at a Boy Scout haunt we did, where inside the haunt they had tiny little electric chainsaws.
Yeah.
But then because of gas, they got out, they had the giant overpowered lumberjack one.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you set up that's playing with expectations again. That's
That's what he does with his tiny chainsaws, which is great. I love that idea.
Well, we used to do a bit with the chainsaw where I would kind of come up to the customers and, you know, I'd have this teeny little chainsaw kind of hidden off to the side. This is like a planned spot, whatever. And I would come up to him and I'd be, hey, you want to see my chainsaw? And he's going to, man, it's going to blow your mind, chainsaw. And like, I just kind of build it up and whatever. And then I go and I grab it and I'm looking over my shoulder and then I turn around with this stupid little plastic chainsaw and I start, putting it over my head like Leatherface, swinging around. I got my tongue out, chainsaw. And of course everybody laughs. Well, then one of my buddies is standing behind them with an actual chainsaw and rips it.
Yeah. The real one. Yeah.
Man, you want to talk about people jumping. 100% of the people, 100%.
Exactly.
So you are the 100%er. See?
There you go.
We found you. I don't think we
Japes,
can bring you
I would
you
like to
yourself.
Introduce you to Japes.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you said that I found really interesting was you talked about providing tools for actors to use.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. No, I was interested in hearing more about that.
Yeah, so like the idea is that when we do our exercises, when we're playing different games and stuff, we play these different games, and each game has a purpose, and it could be to develop dialogue, it could be to work on body use, you know, how you use your body. And what I always tell people is what we're doing is we're filling up your toolbox, right? We're giving you all these different things, different ways that you can do stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. In the end, you can kind of break it down to three things. If you want to go extremely basic, you can break it down to three things. And haunt acting is about what you say, how you say it, and how you look, you know, how you carry your body. So your voice, your voice, your dialogue, and your body. If you understand how you're using those three things, you're going to be pretty solid. And so each tool that we give you is going to work on one of those areas. And some of them I always ask people, look, I'm going to ask you to do something that may be really uncomfortable for you. I want you to try it because you might be able to figure out a way to spin it and make it your own and find something that you wouldn't have tried otherwise, right? Like your natural tendency would not be to use your body in this way because you're either a really big person or a small person or whatever. Your natural tendency wouldn't be to use that, but now you're using it and you start to morph what I asked you to do into something that you can do, you know, and we always, you know, I'm always talking about after every exercise. Now, could you do that all night, every night, for all of October?
Right.
20 nights. Can you do it?
And the idea is try everything, find the things that fit, put them into your toolbox, and then build your characters around those things. A lot of it, to be honest, is going to be garbage. It's not going to fit who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to fit your style. It's not going to fit your body. It's not going to feel comfortable. do, you know, walking in this way or carrying yourself this way or talking this way, but you're going to find little pieces that stick, that work, that fit for you. And when the other piece about this is that so training in isolation, right? Like doing just a seminar is not the most effective way to learn. So there has to be follow-up. So when I give you these tools and then the season is started and you're working in your room and I'm saying, hey, what if you did this? We now have a common language to talk about it, because I can go back and say, remember we played that game and I asked you to carry your body like this, and they'll be like, oh yeah. Now,
and that's that lingo and jargon you were talking about a little bit earlier from Jeff Glatzer.
The lingo, the jargon, and the fact that like I do a 3-hour actor training. Three hours of here's everything you need to know to work in a haunted house. Now hold on to all of the information I gave you for 3 hours. Hold on to that until the next time you work and implement it all. Well, that's not reasonable. We know that's not going to work. So, but what we did do is I planted those seeds and I put those things in their brain so that I can then pull them back out when I need them and when they need them. So what it does is it helps us to decrease the learning curve of the haunted house, because it stinks that at the beginning of the month, a customer is not going to see the best show, you know?
Right.
So we want to decrease that as quick as possible so that if we can get them by the second week where they're all tuned up and things are running smoothly, that's awesome. To me, that's a huge victory. But it doesn't come overnight. I didn't walk into a haunted house. You didn't walk into a haunted house your first night and absolutely like knock it out of the park. Nobody does.
Nope.
Well, very rarely, I should say. There are some exceptions, but but generally speaking, the majority of people, they're not going to walk into a haunted house and rock it that first night. It takes time. You know, it took me time to develop my character and figure out what I was going to do with it. And by the time I got it, I was, you know, and you, I'm sure you had the same experience. So the idea is to give them the tools that then as managers, we can then pull out for them later, you know, help them to pull out. Remember, you got this tool in your toolbox.
So what about some best tips kind of things for retention then from year to year?
So, again, you know, it's sorry, we got off on the women and haunt tangent. And I'm glad you brought it back. Thank you for doing that. Because I think it's very much about the culture that you create. People want to feel safe. I have seen that there's a lot of people, LGBT kids that come and work for the haunt. And, I remember starting I was doing training for a haunt several years ago. And we were kind of generating, during the training, we were generating a list of things that people are afraid of.
Yeah.
And this one guy says, homosexuality. And I'm like, okay, people are afraid of that. But is that something that we want to really go to? Now, I've been at haunts where they've had characters that played very flamboyant gay characters, and they would go and hit on the guys, and they would get that reaction.
Right.
Me personally, I have a lot of issue with that. I don't.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't think that creates a culture that's supportive of all of the people that we have working for us. I'm not a fan of it, but I've seen it done. So I immediately defaulted to the owner who was there, and he was like, "No, absolutely not. That is not something we do." And I was like, "Good, cool, sweet. I'm happy here. I like that. I'm very happy to hear that." So, you know, some haunts will play into that. And, you know, I've been to a lot of haunts where there's a lot of horseplay backstage where people are hitting each other and, you know, and it's all in fun and stuff. But I've also seen people get injured. I've seen actors get injured because they were roughhousing. You know, they were goofing around, or people being afraid of other people because they know that this is the guy that every time he walks by, he's going to punch me in the place, and that creates a culture of fear. It creates a culture of where people are uncomfortable. And I know that sadly there are a lot of people who work for haunts that feel more comfortable in that environment where things are chaotic and things are more aggressive. But me personally, I don't want to deal with that. And I found that we retain and we have less backstage issues. Because, right, actor drama, it happens. There's no way around it. It's going to happen. But I've found mm-hmm. that when you create a culture that's not tolerant of that, you have less drama. You have less problems. You know, you don't have the gay character walking around playing this very flamboyant character, then offending the people who are gay in the haunt. You know, there's no reason they should feel uncomfortable. They should feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of what led me into the whole women thing is, like, you know, I have a very, very strict policy on no means no.
Yeah.
And that means if a guy is hitting on a girl, or a guy is hitting on a guy, or a girl's hitting on a girl, or a girl's hitting on a guy, it doesn't matter where it's going from.
Right.
If you are not interested in a person, you're working in the haunt and they're hitting on you and you're not interested in them, you need to be very clear, I am not interested in you. No, yeah. I am not interested in you. If they continue to push, they're gone. They're done. I have no tolerance for that. And one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten, 2 years ago, a girl who worked for the haunt came to me mid-season, and she had been, I think she got it from her high school or something, but she brought in these cards that were like your rights as an individual in dating, uh-huh. your dating rights. And it was these cards to help kids, you know, stay out of domestic violence issues and not be, you know, to not be victimized, you know, based on that type of stuff. And she brought it and she was like, you know, I know you talk a lot about this during your training. This might be something that helps you, you know, helps you to push it. And I was like, I'm so glad that piece of my training stuck out to you because that means I'm creating a culture where you feel safe and you understand that is an extremely important thing. To make sure that you are safe and to make sure that you're protected and to know that you're supported if something happens. If you report that something is happening, I'm not going to say, yeah, well, you were probably asking for it. You know, you were wearing that shirt, you know?
Yeah.
No. You know?
You don't seem like the kind of guy to do that.
Well, no, and I try to wear that on my sleeve. I try to make that part of who I am because I find that people mess with me less in regards to that, you know? They don't test it. They don't test to see, well, what happens if I do this?
That's good.
Good. So, I mean, for retention, it's about creating a culture. And then honestly, the next kind of piece of that is I default to my team leads a lot. I am in charge of the entire show. You know, last year we had basically four attractions in our haunt. I'm in charge of how everything runs, but my team leads are in charge of each house. And I am very strategic in who I pick and how I pick them to be team leads. And I want people that are going to create a good culture within their house. And it kind of backfired on me last year where I couldn't get actors to lead. Like, I was like, I need somebody to cover in this other place. And they're like, I'm not leading this house. I love it here. I love my family, you know? So it kind of bit me in the butt a little bit. But, you know, it spoke very clearly to the leadership that was going on within those houses and the culture that they were creating. And like I said, you know, we started with, I believe, around 140 actors, and we ended with about 120 at the end of the year.
That's really good.
Really good numbers.
That's really good.
No, I've never seen anything like it. It was an anomaly. Yeah. I'm going to say that. But I think a lot of it is because of the structure that we've put in place over the years, you know. And I look Sounds at like, where two of those team leads went, everybody that worked for their houses last year, they're at that haunt now, you know.
So that makes sense.
They kept the family together.
Well, we are actually out of time. I know there's so much more to say. What I propose is we plan on having Japes back in a couple of weeks. Next one's a news episode. We'll bring you back. I'm looking at your notes. I'm like, oh, crud. We didn't talk about that or that or that.
Yeah.
So I've got to come back.
I'm sorry. I can ramble. And I could. That's
a good thing, man.
That's why I love your show. That's why I love your show. Because
that's a good thing.
And I sit there and talk and yell in my car while I listen to it. So.
But yes. Go ahead.
So do we want to do real quick favorite scare that you've ever seen or done?
Yeah, quick.
All right, I'm going to toot my own horn. I don't mind doing it. So the reason that I became one of the top actors at my original haunt was because I broke the cardinal sin and I used boo. And this is a story I never tell my actors because I always think that they're going to try to reprep. Because
you can spell it.
Right. Yeah, totally. It's well, and boo is like the absolute worst thing. But what happened was I found that there was a space where they had to walk through a door. The customers had to walk through a door. And what I learned by watching the customers is every time somebody walks through a door, they look forward. They put their hand on the door. They push the door. They look forward to make sure that there's nothing there. Then they immediately turn back and check that their friends are there and that they're, you know, that they're right behind them.
Yeah.
So what I would do is as they turn their head to look at their friends, I was ducked down low because they're looking eye level. I would duck down low and they would turn around to look at their friends. And while they turned around to look at their friends, I would stand up and they would turn back and I would be right next to them. And yeah. I would just say, boo. And they would jump and they would get scared. And then now boo by itself is awful. But what I did was I followed up. I would start laughing at them because now the group sees that I just got that person with boo. And then I'd say, I'd say, oh man, I got you with boo. Oh, look out around the next corner. There's a guy wearing a sheet and some chains. Woo! And so I scared the first one or two people, but I then got a laugh and a reaction from the other people.
Right.
Exactly.
That's definitely my favorite scare of all time.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll schedule a time in a week or two to have you back on and finish this up. I know you're going to be busy, but we'll see if we can find some time.
Yeah, maybe we'll November before we get you back because, haunt season.
Everybody's crazy. I get it. But we do want you back. There's a lot of other great bullet points on here we want to discuss, but we don't have time. So we'll plan on doing that. But real quick, where can all the nice people listening find you?
So the best way to find me is on Facebook. Google search or what? Not Google search, whatever. Search. Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Search for Japes Palace on Facebook. That's the easiest way to contact me. My email is mrjapes10@gmail.com. I'll be honest, I don't check it that often, but I'm obsessively on Facebook. So that's probably the best way.
We noticed.
Yes. And he likes this podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast, you can look through our likes.
Yeah, and he's actually all over the Haunt Weekly Facebook page. And you can find Haunt Weekly at Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Haunt Weekly on Twitter. Check us out there. Send us some DMs. Like I said, new site is still coming.
Yes, but the test site is out there.
The test site is out there. You can check it and get feedback on it. But on that note, thank you, Japes, for joining us. It's been a wonderful hour. Looking forward to talking more shortly, we hope.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for pronouncing my name right.
You know, it's like we said on the podcast, this is a real struggle for me because mispronouncing stuff is kind of my thing. I am very, very good at that.
You're making growth, and that's what we want. We want growth.
That's growth. Well, on that note, I'm Joe Nathan.
And I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode 43 with Japes Palace. We will see you guys next week.